These are our tribal historians. They're the keeper of our history. And every one of them has a story. And let's give them all a round of applause.
And to Susan, who organized all of this. Yeah. Held our hands.
We have a few minutes that we can take. If you have questions for specific ones of them, you will need to come up and get, we have a microphone here. If somebody can reach one of the microphones, or you can take one of these. If anybody has any specific questions, we can take a few questions. If you don't, you're just keepers of the history, and you'll need to pass it on. Here you go.
I'm Tom Priest, and I'm probably here because I'm a Bosch squasher. You guys are an opportunity for me because I want to ask about that water development issue. The mystery to me is not the Sea Ranch, but the neighbors to the Sea Ranch. I understand from, I think it's Mr. Fowler who runs our water company, that when he was getting reapproved for the well down the stream, he discovered, much to his shock, there was no record of how the Baker property ever got connected to the water company. And when he asked the Baker family how that happened, they said, I've forgotten Mr. Baker's name. The legendary Mr. Baker said,
Jay
said never to talk about how that water hookup happened. So should any of you know, that's one question. The other issue is the house that sits up above the Posh, which is now also connected to the water. It clearly was built in the 50s, and yet I thought there was a general failure of wells. Was there a well on the property at the time, and do any of you know? Thank you.
Does anybody want to take that one? Otherwise, I'll answer it. That property up there is Christensen property, and when the that's one of the three areas where there are springs along the ranch. In fact, that's actually why historically there were three areas of development. This one down here, the one in the middle of the ranch where the Nipstangle barn is, and down at Black Point. And so that's fed by the water that would have come down by Black Point. And the reason why there's that house there, there was an earlier Christensen house that was a two-story house that's not there anymore. It burned. But that house was built in the 50s. And then in the 60s, when Sea Ranch became Sea Ranch, and the Posh Squash garden people wanted to put in the garden, and it had to be just off the edge of Sea Ranch because God knows it's not indigenous plantings. And so in order to water the Posh Squash garden, the Posh Squashers made a deal with the Christensens to link into their water supply. And so that water supply came from the Christensen house. And that's how that got connected. I'm not sure about the Bakers, to tell you the truth. But I do know that the water that was connected there and that house had to do with the Christensen family. And the Christensen family had been here since the late 1800s. Anybody else have any questions? Yes, come on up.
Thank you. Is this on? Is it on? Okay, thanks. My name's Christine Kraling, and I've been doing some research on the planning of the Sea Ranch, and I have a question for Mr. DeMoss. He said that 2,500 lots were ultimately planned for the Sea Ranch, yet the place was permitted for 5,200. I guess that's based on water. And there's a lot of talk about after the moratorium and the Coastal Commission and the downsizing of the number of units. So I'm confused about how many units were originally planned for the Sea Ranch. Thank you.
5,200.
I was wrong. In my mind, it was we were going to end up with about one lot for every couple.
One per acre.
One per acre, something like that. But I thought that some of the early planning, we went through, remember these numbers were basically pie in the sky, because in 1963, you hadn't sold a lot. You didn't know if you were going to sell a lot. And in hindsight, it looks quite easy that this has been developed. It took 50 years. But back then, we didn't know whether we would ever get past the first 50 lots, have 100 lots, 200 lots, or whatever. And then, of course, the Coastal Commission came in as well. So the numbers were, at best, reasonable estimates. And there wasn't a specific number that had been designated that we had to meet or not meet.
Come on up, Val.
She says to talk loudly. Is that okay? We live at on Drover's Close. And as most people know, if you've read Susan's book, there was an army base up there. And by the way, there is a well up there. And that's on a high point of land. So it means this must be down quite a ways. I would suggest to probably get at the water. I'm just curious. Have any of you, did you happen to know about the Army base? I guess, especially here with Pat and Russ.
Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, it was an Air Force base. It was a radar base, and I think it was probably one of the first ones on the West Coast. I'm not sure. The building it was in looked like an old barn because they didn't want it recognized from out of the ocean. The air base had, at times, as many as 150 people there. They had the guardhouse, then they had the supply house, the vehicle pool or the grease shed and the gas shed. The officers' quarters, the washrooms, and the barracks, and the mess hall, the day room. And during the time it was up there, one of the guys that was on guard duty, he thought he heard something, and he shot up the hillside. And another guy went nuts, and he shot one of the soldiers in the day room. And my dad had to go up and get him because he was a coroner at that time. What else do you want to know?
Nell's property, if he's on Drover's Close, he's on the site of where the base was.
Okay.
I appreciate what you've had to say very much, and I would like to spend some time with you next
okay.
couple of weeks and find out more. Since this is being documented, I might bring it up to date. When we bought, they had to declare that this was a former Army base because there's a possibility of hazards still remaining on the site. And I think it was around, 2006, 2007, something like that, the Army issued a contract to an outfit that would go to these various Army sites that were hidden during World War II along the coast to try to clear them to say that there's no hazards. These two guys spent quite amount of time looking for a grease pit that was shown on the maps. It's an interesting story in itself, but the end result conclusion was they recommended to the Army that everything was okay and it could be cleared. They also told us the Army might do that in a year's time, 6 years' time, or maybe never. We have not heard from the Army.
Thanks, Mel. Does anybody else want to ask a question? If not, we'll conclude today. Thank you very much. Diana's got the...